But we forgot because it became so difficult once upon a time when it has to deal with, say, even the simplest model, MM1, you have to deal with modified Bessel functions. People got scared and said, let's give it up. Until 80s, there was renewed interest in the subject because, I mean, human being, this curiosity of human being is always to accept challenges. Even if this was a simple problem, but we are unable to get a reasonably simple solution, then the idea is how to get that simple solution, if it is at all possible. And you can see that is the beginning of our talk. The talk is MM1, the same MM1 which we have learned right from the beginning, but service now in batches of H. Arrival rate is lambda and service rate is mu, very simple problem. And the rate diagram is right there. So what is happening is you are moving every step, moving one step only. But while coming back, you come three steps back unless you are at 2. If there are 2, then you go to 0. If there is 1, you go to 0. In other words, the batch size is H or less, whatever is left over. That's the batch size. Okay, our job is to find an explicit formula of the transient probability. Why explicit formula idea? Well, again, the same thing. You have solutions. Now there are plenty of different solutions we know. But again, the human curiosity is, can you get an explicit solution? It's a challenge. If at all, it is possible. Can you guess it? Well, for H is equal to 1, that is the beginning of in 80s, the research in 80s, there are solutions. The technique was essentially through random walk, which leads to essentially counting. It's a counting problem, essentially. How does it come into picture? That's what I'll show in general, this case. Please note that if H is equal to 1, the diagram becomes extremely simple. What happens is your backward movement is one step always, and therefore this type of complexity will not arise. What is the complexity there insofar as a random walk problem is concerned? This is actually a reflecting barrier. 0 is a reflecting barrier. From 0, you reflect, come out always, but when you reach 0, you reach in a very complex way, and those are the problems in counting. Okay, then you'll see what can be done about it. Okay, here is a little note. In standard books, or even today, most of the work you can see always through transformation. This is a standard way of doing it. You start with Chapman-Kolmogorov equations, then move to transform method, standard way of doing it. And even Newt's method is essentially a transform method, but more complex. But he realized in his book that by simple, elegant combinatorial method, Takac solved very difficult problem in a simpler way. And Takac's method is in 1967 in his book. And what we will do is essentially following the same path and reaching the solution for this problem. And the technique in this case will be counting what I call lattice bars. And I know there is a simple story. A student was preparing write an essay in an exam. He didn't know what to do. He prepared only one essay on writing about a cow. But then unfortunately the question came about write an essay about a tree. So he started, there was a tree, but underneath the tree there was a cow. So he started writing the essay on the cow. My subject is lattice bar counting. So wherever I go, I come back to that. Okay, but before doing that, I'll take you through two simple ideas which exist again in textbooks now. The textbook is in Anderson's book, 1991, Dual Process. A process, if you have a process, if you have an XT is a Markov process, with rate, transition rate matrix Q, then its associated dual process, X star T with transition rate matrix Q star, is given by QI J star will be equal to QJK minus QJ minus K, J minus 1 K, sum over all rows I, rather all columns starting from I, K is equal to I up to infinity. You take the difference of the two columns and sum from I. If your I is row, then from there on you'll do that. That becomes the rate matrix of this dual process. And the dual process of our previous rate diagram looks like this. Immediately you see how simplex it becomes. The other diagram you see how complex it was. Now it has become simple. It has two characters. Not only it is simple, but it doesn't have any more reflecting variance. It has now an absorbing variance. Absorbing variance problems are two. And that is the main trick here, which essentially due to Alan, my co-author, Alan and discovered that they went back and saw this. This is well known in stochastic processes, nothing new really. But it's only for application this is something interesting. So what does it do? You have the dual process, no doubt. How do we connect it? We connect the two. So far as the probability computation of probability is concerned, by this theorem. The theorem says, if you have now the transition probability function Pij star t for the dual process, that can be obtained from that formula number 2, summation Pjk t minus Pj minus 1 kk, sum over k is equal to I to infinity. This is known as okay. Therefore, if I form the dual process and I want to go back to my original process, then the corollary says it's a simple derivation. Pijt can be equal to Pjk star t minus Pj plus 1 k star t, and sum over k is equal to 1. It's a very simple elementary trick. So, from the original process, we've gone through dual process. If I know the solution for the dual process, I go back to the original process. Okay. So this is one part of the preliminary. Second part is well known now to this community, actually made very highly popularized by Winfried Grassmann. This is your randomization. Randomization theorem. I have written a little bit note there when what happened, that nitty-gritty of mathematics, needing that note, stochastical, monotone stuff, that I'm not talking about it, that has to be checked. Those are little things in mathematics, always there. Randomization theorem is known, and especially in the Markov situation, this is very simple to explain it. And what are you doing is, in time t, if there are n events, you have two processes, two Poisson processes. If you superimpose them, then you have one superimposed process with rate lambda plus mu now. And you say, let there be n events happening in during that period t. Then if you think that way, this is that expression, nothing else. But you can do that algebraically also. And when you dwell separately, key nature, of which these are the elements, are the, this is one step, transition matrix, this is M step transition matrix. P matrix comes out of Q matrix, this is the volume.
Okay.
So what, then you can see what we'll do. We start with a continuous time process, convert that to, first go to, through duality, go to another process. We know how to get the solution. Now in the duality process, which is a continuous time process, I want to go to this, through randomization theorem. Once I do that, therefore P identity that I want to find can be obtained through P I J N, N step probabilities. So I have taken a continuous time process to discrete time process. Why? By doing that, I am bringing you to the counting immediately. I'm bringing you to the counting. So from the tree, I'm going to the cup. The solution method, as I have already told you, from figure 2 we see the dual process has an absorbing state and the flow diagram is simpler. Oh, second thing in the flow diagram, let me explain one more point, which is interesting because it's useful. In the flow diagram, it is dual process, you can see there is a simpler idea. Sort of, you can see your arrival rate, etc., have become service rates, lambda, and it is the diagram is you go one step only. Whereas mu, which was the service rate and number of services at three, has become now arrival. So that is also it makes sense saying it is a dual process. So I have already said those things, that from figure 2 we see that the dual process has the absorbing state 0 and the flow diagram is simpler. Randomization theorem converts a continuous time process problem into a discrete time process. Therefore, what happens? Therefore, you can see the duality result, that's what I have explained already to you, the duality result will bring the TIJT which you are looking for, comes out of duality probabilities, and the duality probabilities for continuous time comes out of probabilities EJK star N, which are, I think, about N step discrete time. Discrete time transient probability function for the dual problem. Therefore, for EJK star N, the diagram would look like this. Transition probabilities, these are not rate probabilities, now these are transition probabilities. And that can come from the rates. E will be lambda over lambda plus 0. Therefore, what is happening? It's a random walk problem. If it's a random walk problem, then I try to convert it to a lattice part because that's how conceptually I can think better than the other type of diagram. So figure 3 is nothing but a random walk with up steps, because you see up steps of size 3, you are going from 1 to 4, 2 to 5, and so on, and down steps of size 1, 4 to 3, 3 to 2, and so on. Then what you do is represent an up step by a horizontal unit and a down step by a vertical unit. Then any sequence of events in the walk represents a line. It becomes a path. I hope, what is the lattice path to this audience? Probably I have to present it. outside of path is a lattice point. A path which passes through the lattice point and takes a turn, only can take the only turn at the left at a lattice point. Such paths are called lattice paths. And in this case, what I have done is I've converted a problem like this. What is a random walk path to a lattice path by this transformation? Then what happens? Suppose in this, consider a sequence of I to J in n steps. Let U be the number of up steps. In this, up steps are nothing but your going 1 to 4 type of thing, 2 to 5, this type of steps. Then, if you do that, then number of x, by this transformation, number of x units should be u, y units should be automatically 3u plus I minus j, there'll be no problem. N is the total number of steps, will be sum of these two. Okay, very simple. Then each sequence of a random walk path is a path from 0i to u 3u plus I minus j without touching the line. The zero barrier here converts into a line like this, which is given by y is equal to 3x plus I. Each such sequence will have probability q to the power u t to the power 3u plus I minus j. These are binomial problems.
Yes.
These are binomial type of problems. Except the barrier. Okay. The barrier brings the counter. This diagram gives you, if I is equal to 4, j is equal to 5, e is equal to 4, this gives you the path actually from the origin with that boundary. The boundary in this case would be y is equal to 3x plus 4, going from 0, 0 to 4, 11. If I is equal to 4, j is equal to 5, then the number of paths would be from 0, 0 to back without crossing that line. That's what your job is. Well, that's very simple again if you think in an elementary way. That should be total number of paths from 0, 0 to 4, 11, which in general will be that number. It's a binomial coefficient, minus the path that will touch across that boundary. So let it touch. These are the similar type of arguments used in color, in Packard, everywhere. This type of argument exists everywhere. And probably Percy was using the same type of argument, no question about it. So, how do you do it? So let it hit those points for the first time. Somewhere it will hit. A general point will be, on the boundary will be this, S, T, S plus I. Let it hit for the first time. And that will be number of paths from 0, 0 up to that will be this general point will be this number. These are called valid numbers. And that exists in my book. You will see in Packard's book in a different way, but not in direct form of this. So I know that. So I know number of paths from here to one of those points. Then from there, you have to go to the last point. That's again a binomial, ordinary binomial coefficient. You should see that. That would be path from the general point to the boundary to the last point will be a binomial coefficient. Therefore, the total number of paths will be the total path, the number of paths will be total number of paths minus those will touch and cross. The first part is going to that general point. The second part is from the general point to the boundary, to the final end point, end destination. So, in general, the general situation will be EJKRN. You have exactly the same form as this. Go back, substitute. You have the answer. So what I'll do is, just one second, just to give the little bit of the Anderson's book is well known. Sakat's book is known. My book is, of course, up to the audience. The audience in Combinatorics probably knows about this book, but then Newt's book is obviously all well known. So what we did is, at a history, we tried the same problem, this back service problem, directly, without the dual process. It was complicated. Our answer in Sankhya is really, we have a solution, but it's complicated. We tried, it was brute force. But the latest, this I will consider Alan and his group, their major contribution is this dual process, introducing the dual process concept. And they have, at the beginning, we used randomization theorem for the general birth set process. That's that paper in queuing system. It's even using combinatorics, you can get a general solution for the birth death process, not the central state. That we have. Then this is a series of papers with Klinik and his associates using randomization as well as dual theorem and using path counting. Thank you.